thetakeaway.org. We want to hear from you, Daljit.
Thanks very much, Todd. Well, now, just to be clear, we are not, I repeat, we are not in a pandemic, but we seem to have had an outbreak of that word.
The United States is, quote, proceeding as if we are preparatory to a full pandemic.
When you talk about things like this, you talk about a pandemic.
Calling this a pandemic.
A pandemic is imminent.
Potential for development into a pandemic.
And there's also a lot of discussion about what we should be calling the flu virus. The World Health Organization says no more swine flu after it reportedly came under pressure from the meat industry. They'll be calling it influenza H1N1. Doesn't quite roll off the tongue like swine flu. With us is Grant Barrett, a lexicographer. That doesn't quite roll off the tongue either. But you are the co-host of the public radio show Away With Words. And thank you very much for being with us this morning.
My pleasure.
How difficult, Grant, do you think it's going to be to dislodge the word swine flu from people's minds? Is it going to be very difficult to get them to start calling it influenza AH1N1 to use its correct scientific name?
That's impossible. Don't think of pink elephants, right? It's done already. It's out. The box has been opened. The word is out there. You might call it the H1N1. Even that short version is too difficult to say.
So what is it? Is it just that people like the idea of calling it swine flu? It rolls off the tongue and it has these sort of certain connotations with hogs, which aren't entirely accurate either. So, if we want to be accurate about what we want to call it, we should call it by its correct name. Why is it so problematic for people?
I think it's fixed because that's where it started. We started with this minor panic about the swine flu. It's now lodged in our brains in this panicky place. It's got a bright red flag attached to it. And to say that, well, that's no longer a problem. You just can't wash that away with words. You have to wash it away with action. Will the deaths decrease? Then maybe the word will decrease as well.
So no hogwash.
No.
So why do you think that some words, though, have stickiness and others don't?
Swine flu is actually kind of memorable. It's easy to say. It takes two words that we all know. It works really well in the mouth. That is, it's not difficult for the tongue and the lips to utter. Something like the 2009 H1N1 virus or whatever the variations are that they're calling it, that doesn't have any of those characteristics.
You deal with words, in your everyday life. You deal with them in your work as well. How do new words actually get created, and what does it take to replace an existing one? How do you get it out of one's consciousness?
The words that succeed are the words that are useful, and actually they're usually not very clever. They're words that just are really ordinary. They're common. They're even flat and boring. And the charming stuff or the stuff that you joke at when you read it in the newspaper, that stuff just doesn't work very well at all.
Okay, so that means that we don't have to come up with anything sexy for hand washing, right? Because we talk about pandemic and swine flu, and those words, if not panic, they incite a lot of concern. Pandemic is a big, big, scary word. Mm-hmm. The simple word and the simple solution, and I've been harping on it, I know, is hand washing. Wash your hands. That's one of those things that's straightforward. We don't need to come up with some kind of snazzy disco word.
Manual lavation or something like that. No, right. nothing like that at all. Though, you can actually take the H1N1 word and you can do things to it. I've seen people say, well, it looks kind of like a leet-speak word, this online language where people take letters and replace them with numbers. So H1N1 looks kind of like the word hiney. So you might call it the hiney virus.
That's something that we can
chomp
on.
I think we've got a new word on the takeaway.
Yeah, let's just make up words on the takeaway. But talking of replacing words, but where the meaning stays the same, this isn't really true of pandemic, right? At least not in the English language.
No.
There is no other word for it.
No, and it's because the word serves its role perfectly in all of the Romance languages. Actually, as a matter of fact, in all of the languages in Europe, they use a form of the word pandemic. Because there's no really good synonym for this. Now, we have words that describe, say, an affliction specifically for cattle that's widespread and is dangerous, or for pigs, or for plants.
That's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it, that first one?
Well, the word epizootic. Actually, it's kind of fun to say.
Epizootic.
It is.
Epizootic is a word that describes an affliction usually of cattle or pigs that very much like this. Epizootic.
So all animals, if it's if it's infectious.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And for plants, there's a word epiphytotic.
What defines a pandemic?
It is a matter of geography, not of severity.
So it's to do with its geographical reach.
That's right.
It's nothing to do with how severe it becomes in a particular country or a fixed geographical
location. And this is a mistake that I hear people make repeatedly, both in public and in the media. Epidemic isn't necessarily fewer deaths. It could be more deaths. It's just a smaller contained region.
And pandemic has nothing to do with panic, because sometimes there's that association in people's minds as well.
But no. It's closer, in fact, to the word pandemonium. So if you want to
Oh, good. Well, much more comforting.
But no, a pandemic is actually just a mix of the word pan from Greek, which means all, endemic, which means people, all the people. All the people get it.
So so that's where it started?
I mean,
it has
goes all the way back to Greek.
And what other memorable pandemics come to mind? I mean, not just in terms of the influenza, but other viruses.
Well, of course we can talk about the plague, right? Actually, in the history of humanity, we've always been afflicted with these kinds of things. And certainly we've always been we've associated these with our livestock as well. If you do reading on the history of Ireland, for example, there's something called the Great Murrain. It's Murrain. And this was a time when 9 out of 10 cattle just died. They keeled over from a great pandemic among the cattle.
Okay, well, Grant Barrett, thank you very much for coming along.
My pleasure.
And speaking to us. You're the co-host of Public Radio Show, Away With Words, of course. And here's somebody who has a way with words, the one and the only Femi Okeh.
Thank you, Dajit Dalal. Don't tempt me.
How's that for an introduction?
Very nice. Beautifully done.